we'll work through.
Okay. Thank you so much again for doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
I hope we'll be able to hear this. Okay, so my first question, very easy. What is your name?
I'm Michael Broderick.
Okay, and what is your occupation?
I'm assistant professor of communication studies at JMU. So.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So then, this is, again, just a very general question.
Okay.
But what is your experience with bookstores in the past?
Okay. You know, it was funny. I looked at your questions yesterday, and I've been thinking a little bit about it. I'm just sort of mulling over my experience with bookstores. And I realized, and then on the way home, I was listening to NPR, and they had a segment about Amazon opening a physical bookstore in Seattle.
Mm.
And so they're opening a new bookstore. And essentially what happened is Amazon put big bookstores out of business because you can get any books online.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all to say. I haven't had much experience in bookstores in ages. Like, it's, I looked at all my books here, and every one of them is ordered off of Amazon. Like, and so my experience with bookstores, at least for the last 10, 15 years, is the experience of an Amazon bookstore, an online bookstore, mm-hmm. which is a fundamentally different character. And when I was younger, I was a reader. I was not always the best student, but I was a crazy reader, and I always read a ton. I loved books, like not just the reading of them, but like the physicality mm-hmm. of them. Like, I always would get books that I could fit in my back pocket, or I put in like the hem of my pants. Like, I carried them with me everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I loved old books. Like, I loved used books. So a lot of my experience was with used bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm 43. So, like, I saw sort of the advent, I don't know if you got to see this in your life, of like bookstores owned by people like you and I, just like normal folks, and then big businesses like Borders and
Barnes and Noble
came, and so they put like small bookstores out of business. But like, I remember going as a kid, like 16, 17, 18, and like going to small mm-hmm. used bookstores and like picking out books. So always hung out in bookstores.
Right,
always.
That's so great. I feel like that was me when I was younger too, but I don't have as much experience with like the smaller stores because, like you said, it's been commercialized.
Oh yeah, they were gone, and so I guess probably like you, then I would go to like Barnes and Noble mm-hmm. or Borders, or we had another large like corporate bookstore. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and it was just a thing in Dayton, but I loved it. Right, like they had multiple titles, and they had people there who all the people there loved books. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't still that small old time bookstore, but like, the people there at least love to read. So you could say, hey, I'm looking for this. And they knew what you're talking about.
And they could suggest something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they had like a coffee house, mm-hmm. You know, that was great.
That was always me when I was younger, too. I would curl up in a little beanbag chair and just read my books all day long. My mom couldn't get me to stop.
Oh, yeah. It's a great thing.
It is. I love it. So was there any one bookstore in particular that you spent a lot of time in?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I was trying to think. So I grew up in Dayton, and I could not remember, and I still can't remember, which is sort of disturbing to me,
mm-hmm.
what those used bookstores were. It's been so long ago, and it's been so long since I've really hung out in like good used bookstores
mm-hmm.
that I can't even really remember, because there's this like whole sort of, like, amongst people who read or read back then, this like constant exchange of used mm-hmm. copies. So like, I read a lot of Kurt Vonnegut, or I read a lot of Vonnegut and other sort of classics in paperback, and we would just exchange them. Like, I can't remember the bookstores themselves, which is disturbing to me, but there was this one bookstore in Cincinnati, Ohio called Caldy's. I don't even know how to spell it. Caldy's. And it was like this cool, super hip bookstore in downtown Cincinnati. My girlfriend went to school there, and so when I'd go visit, we'd go downtown, and she was an English lit major. And like, so we'd go like hang out there, and there was a place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was it just a great coffee shop, like you could get like real coffee, but then they had books everywhere. So they had a library you could pick out books and like sit down there and read, but then they had books for sale everywhere. So that was a great bookstore, like big, beautiful old building in downtown Cincinnati, like, you know, like 20-foot ceilings. They had like the old ladder, mm-hmm. you know, like that library ladder.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so you could climb up the library ladder.
Wow.
It was really cool.
That must have been really cool.
So, and it was just kind of a hip place to hang out. Like, musicians would hang out there, mm-hmm. artists would hang out there. So not only would you read, but you could sit and have conversations with folks and like.
Right, and that makes it even better.
It was like, it was a place to be. Like, it was not just a thing about books, but like
a place to be. That kind of leads into my next question, which sure. is, who did you interact with when you were there? What types of people?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because they're bookstores, and I think not all of us, I'm an extrovert, but like mm-hmm. a lot of readers are introverts, right? So like they hang out in these places and there's not a ton of dialogue, right? They want to be in a space where they can sort of quietly absorb material. But you inevitably like interact with people. Like you inevitably like talk about ideas, or they see what you're reading, right? And they're like, oh, you're reading Nietzsche. Like I read, you know, so it invites dialogue. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it, how lonely my vocation has gotten to be, because now I order books online that nobody sees. Mm-hmm. I read them in a space that nobody sees. And then I don't get to interact with people who are reading similar. That's why I love being a student. Like, right. you read books in common and you have mm-hmm. dialogues about books. And, you know, those dialogues about books are dialogues about our lives, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're about more rich things. Right? They're universal themes of, like, love and happiness and sadness and despair. And, like, these things that we all experience and get to live through another, like, through a piece of fiction or nonfiction. So like those dialogues are sort of gone. Like, so it's kind of sad for me to think about like how different, sort of an online venue versus like right. a physical bookstore is, mm-hmm. Just 'cause you're missing that whole component. Like I miss going to a place and talking to folks, and it's not the same now. So now like corporations or even Starbucks, like try to present an image as if you can go there and sit and have those similar mm-hmm. dialogues. But for me, at least, having experienced this other thing, they seem like artificial spaces.
Right.
They seem like corporate spaces to me, and I don't want to sit there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to sit in Starbucks and drink my coffee. I want to get my Starbucks, which I did this morning. Get it and go. Like, I don't want to be there. It doesn't feel like an authentic mm-hmm. place for me. Right. But that means that I don't get those dialogues either.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean for
that. Does that make sense?
Like, does. I completely understand that. Yeah. Is there one significant memory or one, like, singular memory that you remember from your time in bookstores? If not, that's completely fine.
You know, I was thinking about it, and it's... I don't know if it's a particular bookstore, but there's mm-hmm. this particular period of time, and I don't... Maybe we all do this. Like, I'm 43, and, like, I still see, like, the most beautiful period of my life is the mm-hmm. time you're living now, which mm-hmm. is, like, being at college. Like, it's right. this... It is this point of possibility, mm-hmm. right? This point of, like, redefinition, point of possibility. And, like, I was a really crappy student coming out of high school. Like, I felt like I was smart, but, like, I resisted the process. But then I got to college, and I was all in. I was all in, and I had a lot of autonomy. And so I read even then more and was immersed with other people who read more. And so books were, like, books and music, like, is what we did. Like, we would hang out, and, like, we'd exchange books and bring books to each other. And I just remember going to bookstores, these used bookstores, and you never knew what you could find. Mm-hmm. So it's not like now, like all these books I wanted and I went on Amazon, I knew the title,
right.
and I ordered them. It's not the same thing going in a bookstore and going, I don't know what you have, mm-hmm. right? Amazon has everything.
Right.
I would go in these bookstores and so I'd be like, have a vague notion. I'd go to the poetry section and be like, oh, I've never read mm-hmm. this before, right. you know? And I think like all of my younger romantic relationships, like my girlfriend at the time, like our whole love relationship was based around like books, exchange wow. of books. Like we'd go together and like we'd give these things to each other, ideas and poetry, and like it was this beautiful
right.
thing. Mm-hmm. Like, but they happened in these places, right? They mm-hmm. happened in bookstores. Where like there's this one. He's not even a particularly good poet named Richard Brodigan. but he's like this underground subversive, like old school hippie poet. Mm-hmm. And I remember like pulling it off the shelf at the time, just sort of like happened by it, and pulled this like book right. off the shelf, this like dusty old book. Mm-hmm. It was just awesome. Like it just sort of like, I can't even say why. It was cool. Like a cool thing to share. I actually found them years later at a garage sale. Someone had two copies of these.
Oh, wow.
I have them now. They're like these old, tattered, like, crappy copies of these mm-hmm. books of poems.
That's really great that that's, like, a tangible, like, memory that you still can recall as opposed to, like, a virtual, like, online search.
Oh, it is. It is. Not, I mean, I don't want you to think. I've enjoyed, these are just my books for work. But, like, mm-hmm. I've enjoyed all of them. I enjoyed that
right.
that experience. And, like, when they come in the mail, like, I still get excited. Like, mm-hmm. Amazon delivers. Like, it's not to say I dig that experience. It's just a fundamentally different experience. And I feel differently about these books. Like, I'm not as attached to them as I was. These, like, old copies, and, like, they're all glossy and new. They all, for intents and purposes, are the same book. They look like the same.
Right. You're not dusting off anything.
They're not. And I wasn't a collector of books. I had no money. Like, so I would buy crappy old copies. But they're at least unique copies. So, like, my copy of Catcher in the Rye was an old, tattered copy that I carried in my pocket. And everything was torn or bent. And, like, it felt like a thing to me, like an old pair of shoes, like your best pair of shoes or your best jeans, like those jeans that you just love to put on. My books were that way.
You know? It's a memory.
It is.
Do you still have any of those books?
You know, I was going to bring some just for today, and I forgot at the last moment. I have some. Yeah. I realized most of my books were part of this, like, constant trade. Like, nothing was, it's like, amongst the people I knew. I guess we're, you know, like, budding intellectuals. Like, the books were never yours. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'd buy them or we'd buy them, but it was just a constant exchange. Because we were interested in ideas, so we're like, here, you should take this, read this. And then there was no expectation of getting that book back.
Right.
You know, well, because they didn't cost anything. So, like, these books cost me money, real money. Like, they thought I bought a book for $2. So I'd be like, here, you need to read this. And if you find someone else that needs to read this, pass it on. So many of these books, music worked the same way. I just don't have anymore. Right. Like, my wife will be like, well, where is that? And I'm like, I don't have any idea. You know, I gave that away years ago. And then I get books that I don't even know why I have, right? Like, sort of that same exchange.
That's even better sometimes, because you're, like, sharing that memory that meant something to you with someone else. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on a little bit more of a general scale, like, as far as diversity, you were talking about, like, poetry and, like, history before. Do you think it's important or a benefit of bookstores that you can, like, find that diversity? You can find the different genres. You can find things that you weren't expecting or specifically looking for.
I do. Like, I love sort of the unknown aspect of going into a bookstore. Even large bookstores, like, have that sense of the unknown, that sense of, like, discovering a something that you didn't go there to find, you know, a title that you weren't looking for. So, yeah, definitely. I think it's beneficial. I think, I mean, for me, I like the idea of a small bookstore, like in a place that you walk to and like get a cup of coffee. So I remember, like, every year during the summer, which is probably why I ended up being an academic, like, class would be over and I wouldn't want class to be over. So, like, I took a class on Buddhism and then I was like, wanted to know more. So local bookstores didn't have much on Buddhism in Ohio, right? So I would go to our library, right? This whole other thing and get these, like, tomes, these huge collections of books, right? And then, like, keep those. So it forced me into these other spaces, right? You know?
I kind of like that concept of, like, the abstract, where online we're so, like, specified, you have to look for, like, specific things and search, like, for specific topics. I kind of like that in a bookstore you can, like, surprise yourself, I guess, and find things you might not have been looking for.
I mean, I'm with you. Like, I love that aspect of, like, it's like going to a garage sale or an antique store. Like, you never know, like, what's going to, like, pull you in. And, like, I'd like to believe there's some sort of sentience or sort of living material in these that calls you to them. Like, right? I don't know if it's fate or if you're a believer in religion, if it's God calling to you or Jesus. I don't think of those terms, but there's definitely times where I'm like, I'm supposed to have this right now, right? Something's calling me to this thing. It's hard when I'm online, like the infinite possibilities of Amazon.
Right.
You know, and they track it, so they send me, like, oh, you've read these might be of interest to you, and I find that useful, and I absolutely utilize those and have found good stuff. It's not the same thing as, like, sort of doing this thing, like, you walk through a bookstore and you sort of, like, tracing through and you, like, do this, right? Like, something calls you, that physical form calls you, and you pull it out and interact with it. I kind of like that. Like,
I do, too. I guess we're judging books by their cover, maybe.
We are, right?
I saw, this is just interesting to me, I saw an ad for a bookstore once where they cover all the books in like this brown paper bags and just write the title on so you can't judge them by their cover. That was just interesting to me. I would like to go there.
Yeah, me too.
And see what we end up with, right? So do you think that bookstores will become increasingly or decreasingly popular in the future? And have you seen that in your lifetime already?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have to think I'm sort of like drawn to like the darkest scenarios play out. But did you read Fahrenheit 451? Did you have to read that as part of it?
Like, I never had to. Okay. I've heard of it.
For so sure. Ray Bradbury wrote this book called Fahrenheit 451. Fahrenheit 451 is the temperature at which books burn. Oh. So it was this like classic, like, there's this whole series of literature following 1945, following the Second World War that dealt with sort of like, it was the precursor to all the dystopian visions, mm-hmm. like the Hunger Games, like all started with these earlier political ideas of dystopian societies, right? Like, what's going to happen to us?
Right.
Right. And so in Fahrenheit 451, he talks about the front porch disappearing. Like, old houses, old neighbors used to have a front porch, and by sitting on the front porch, you'd talk to your neighbors, you'd interact with people, you would inevitably talk and inquire about them. And he said that, like, in part of, like, this government conspiracy is they took away the front porches, right? Which is really what happened. Like, new suburban tract homes have decks on the back, they don't have porches on the front.
Right.
And it orients you to your neighbors and society in a fundamentally different way. It, like, internalizes. It's your experience of your place rather than sitting on a front porch. I don't know. Right. When I was in college and I lived in a small town, Athens, Ohio, forever, had a front porch always. You interact in the world. You can't hide from the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you interact. I'm afraid that, like, people, like, I've seen in my lifetime that sort of experience with bookstores. Like, bookstores are a place to commune, right? Mm-hmm. They're a place not just of reading, but a place to share ideas, right? A place to be seen by others. Mm-hmm. It's a place, you know, for people, for introverts to be in social contact in a meaningful way with other people, right, out of physical space. Mm-hmm. Like, I think those are valuable spaces. I think they're sensual places, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we've lost sort of this idea, I don't mean sexuality, but sensuality, like this sort of feel, touch of things. And I think there's something to be lost when our interactions are in an online form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I order...
Right.
The book online, it comes in the mail, and I do love the little cardboard packaging and tearing off the stuff. I like that, right? But it's my experience alone,
right.
by myself on my front porch, right? Like, it's, I would hope there's a return to the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that it seems like as I talk to my students about what's meaningful to them, though, they don't like to read.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of disappointing to me. Right. So if they don't read, there's going to be no demand to open up bookstores. And I get it. Like, I've seen my own kids and other students, worked with them for a long time, who've gone through public school system and felt they hate learning, right? And so they associate books with learning. And so they never really fall in love with books, which is sad to me.
They have, like, that negative mindset right off the bat.
Terrible. Like, something I have to do and I hate this is dumb and I don't understand it. And,
right.
And they feel like about art in general, they feel sort of left out. Like, they've never allowed themselves to be sort of emotionally involved with these things or find something they love. And so they hate it. And I'm like, wow, how could you hate books? Right? Like, how could you hate books? But they do. So bookstores, I don't know. I mean, I hope selfishly for my own sake. There's like a resurgence. But I lived in a small town, a college town, a really liberal hippie town for 20 years. And there wasn't a good used bookstore.
Really?
No, there was no bookstore. Mm-hmm. There was a long time ago, but they couldn't keep in business. So I'm like, if they can't keep a bookstore there, I don't know where.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do you think, like, future generations and your kids and your students will be missing out on if bookstores were to disappear completely? You've said that interaction and, like, the physicality and sensuality.
Right. I mean, I definitely think the interaction, you know, I mean, I think the bookstore itself is not just a repository for information, which a computer can be. It's a place, like, it's a place to be,
right?
Like, it's a place you go, like, it's a place you can feel connected to. It's a place you interact with other folks, right? Like, I mean, I feel like I either got into or got out of and formed relationships with people in these places, mm-hmm. right? Like in these places, or interacted with other people who utilized those places, like all my friends who were readers, and so interacted with those spaces in similar ways. That I don't know what drives sort of like the corporate mm-hmm. logarithm for what books go in and what books go out. Like I was, this NPR segment was talking about Amazon going to Seattle, this physical bookstore, but they use all consumer-driven data off of Amazon to mm-hmm. sort of stock the most popular
right.
things. In other words, it's the motivation for the bookstore is money,
mm-hmm.
right? They want to provide an experience, I understand, but they're a business. So the prime directive is money. So the most popular books that sell. So I'm like, what about the other books that
right.
don't sell, like, and that you don't get to experience? So it's sort of like, I don't know what those implications are. I mean, I can't say that I know, but I would be, I guess I'm concerned or curious. Mm-hmm.
It's sad to see, like, that pull of, like, commercialism, I guess, and the focus on money, like you were saying, rather than learning and interaction, which I would hope at least that's where the roots of bookstores were founded on and started.
Well, sure, and because there's all kind of books that have perhaps maybe very little marketable value,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, because it's all consumer-driven, like, how many books are being read, so.
Right.
But I'm sure there's a whole collection of classics and beautiful books that just aren't read by many people that just you wouldn't find
right.
in these places,
mm-hmm.
you know, in these physical places, so.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think, like, old bookstores are run by people who love books, mm-hmm. so they bring in them, you know, they're selecting.
Right.
Based on love of the materials themselves, right, which is a different. Maybe it's why they didn't stay in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't sustain.
It's more personal, for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I only have one more question for you.
Okay.
This one's a little bit tricky.
Okay.
What effect, if any, do you think bookstores have had on American history?
Oh, wow. This is way beyond anything I can even conceive of answering. This has to be for a history class.
Yes, it does.
Well, and I'm sure your professor is abundantly familiar, far more than I am, but, like, there is this whole idea of the public sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've talked about the public sphere or not in class. Jürgen Habermas, this is German philosopher. Mm-hmm. I think he's German, right?
Habermas?
Yeah, Habermas is German philosopher that talks about sort of the foundations of political and democratic dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And they happened in these, like, parlors, these, like, he examined, I think, European parlors, these, like, these public spaces where people would engage,
right.
actively engage in dialogue. Typically, we're talking about educated white
mm-hmm.
males, right? And I think females were allowed some part of this dialogue. But it's sort of seen as a foundation for critical dialogue within a democracy. In other mm-hmm. words, like, how do we know
right.
about ideas, or how can we critically examine things told to us by our government, right? We meet with other educated folks and we...
Mm-hmm.
We work through these ideas. So I think the bookstore, I don't know if it's going to be or not, I'm going to make the leap to say that that's sort of an extension
mm-hmm.
of that, that the bookstores were sort of this, like, could be this hotbed of intellectual thought.
Right.
Like, folks who were highly educated or interested in reading would meet in these, like, sort of public spaces and talk about ideas. I mean, I imagine that was one of the roles of, like, sort of these public spaces, these public bookstores
mm-hmm.
Over the centuries. I don't really know
that's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, we have, like, this conception of, like, a bookworm, and we assume that people that love, like, going to bookstores and libraries and reading and knowledge are introverts that would pull themselves away. But I agree with you when you're saying that, like, it's actually, like, very extroverted, because you're sharing those ideas. It's opportunity for relationships rather than seclusion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know if you guys will look at it because this is part of your project in class, but I'd be interested to know. You can update me. Like, what happened in the 19th and 20th century, the bookstore? Like, what happened in those physical spaces?
Do you
want
the
review
on top, or
do you want to...
that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll save it.
Okay. Mary, if you want to, if you just... You can set it on that table.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Right.
Thanks.
Wait, I wanted to...
Christine and I have our MBA presentation today.
Oh, yeah.
Then last week she has a 5 minutes, so are they going today?
I don't think they're going, but I'll ask them. You guys definitely
go. Okay. I've been running a few, so should I leave after the presentation?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Okay, sorry.
Oh, it's no problem at all. Saying it's like a place to be extroverted rather than secluded.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I mean, and I guess I don't know what happened in mm-hmm. American history with the bookstore.
Right.
But my bet is, especially with, like, organized labor and these different mm-hmm. sort of political or social movements, you need a public place.
Right.
Right. And I can't imagine the bookstores weren't part of that.
Right.
At least in, like, radical thought. Like, so I mm-hmm. think about, like, early, like, Marxist movements or things like that. I bet there was a relationship between like bookstores and
mm-hmm.
I don't know that. You should find out, tell me.
I will. For
I don't
sure.
know. I don't know.
Thank you again so much for doing this.
Did I answer everything?
Is there you
any
did.
Other
that was
lingering like
great, seriously. Okay. And I'm gonna be writing like a reflection paper, so I'll share that with you when
Oh, that'd be awesome.
If you'd like.
Yeah, cool. Now will you guys examine like do you examine this? Like so will you look at the history of bookstores in America? Like